Hi, Scott. It's Eric Zane.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Very well. How's it going?
Things are going well.
Nice. Hey, I saw your article on FGR.com about the passing of Harris. That's how I found out that information. That is terribly sad.
Harris is one of the good guys in the broadcasting industry.
He really was. I only had a few moments that we spoke, but I had to establish some type of rapport with him once his health issues started. And by the way, if you hear my dog snoring in the background, that's pretty much the nature of the beast around here.
Nothing wrong with that.
But, he was a fantastic soul, and it's breaking a lot of people's heart that he passed. But, you know, Harris is a guy that... He comes from an era, Scott, where like the hosts on the radio were bigger than life. If you remember, you know that.
Most definitely. I mean, I grew up listening to Harris, and then you know, years down the road, it was an honor to be actually work side by side with him at KLQ back in the early '90s. But he was. It was back then. You know, all of your radio personalities were local, and when you called the radio station, you knew that person was going to be on the other end of the request line to talk to. And they were bigger than life back then. Like you said, it's like they were local celebrities that really were well respected by the community. And unfortunately, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it's remarkable, because if you think back to when, because we're about the same age, like you had the television news people were enormous personalities locally, and then the radio guys, and LAV in particular, that station, you know, every single every different time slot was like its own universe, and it, you know,
that was also that time when FM, you know, and Harrison and the whole group over at LAV first started that format. I mean, FM radio was just getting underway. I mean, at that point, everybody was listening to AM on their car stereos, and FM was just this new format. And so not only was it a new format that actually sounded so much better than AM radio, but they were doing the whole progressive rock, album rock thing that no one else in the state, or at least in the city, was doing at the time. And there were very few stations even in the country that were trying that type of format. But it worked, and worked well here in West Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. And because I didn't grow up here, but I grew up in Detroit, where it was similar. You had the Riff, to me, was and that's what I thought when I did discover LAV. I was like, well, boy, the way people gravitate towards it is similar type of fanaticism, you know?
Well, and I think it was just that I put a little aside in my article, too, about Harris. And I never got confirmation on this, but it wouldn't have surprised me. But I'd often heard the rumor that back at the old LAV days, Harris actually brought in a metronome and had it going when he was song. And he would use that beat of that metronome to make sure that the next song he played matched that beat exactly when he faded into the next song. So there wouldn't be, you know, just a little bit of an off beat. It was this continuous beat. And that was just, I mean, that was the perfection that he put into each one of his air shifts. I mean, he wanted to make sure that it was the best that he could present with the best music and the best information that was out there.
Well, gone too soon. I know he struggled because he had lost his voice. And of all the things my God, I can't even imagine. But I was able to communicate with him over the years, and we would text back and forth. Mm-hmm. So that was nice, but definitely gone too soon. And I'm glad you wrote that article, because it covered a lot of ground, and it included links to. Didn't you say he was he had formed he was in a band?
He was many, many years ago. He started out as a teenager. He was in a band called the Soulbenders, and they had a couple of songs that locally went right up to number one. And then they later changed their name to Phlegathon, and they continued with their success. And he was the keyboard player and the lead singer. And in fact, you can still find some of those songs up on YouTube. And like I said, I've got a couple of them in the link on the article there at WFGR.com. But yeah, and then his life, love for the music just continued when he got his first job in radio in LA at the LAV in the early 70s. And it's just his love for music extended his whole life. I mean, he was on the air. He then went into collecting records. And the first time I remember, I always heard about his massive record collection, album collection. And the first time I actually was at one of the parties at his house, and he took me down into the basement room. The basement room was huge. I mean, it took up pretty much all of his basement. And you walked in there, and it was like a record store warehouse. There was just shelf after shelf after shelf of thousands of records. And every one of the records had a 3x5 card with all the album cuts on it and all the time. And his attention to detail, all that stuff, was just remarkable. And then from that love of music, it went into a love of movies. And he was one of the first people that made laser discs, movies on laser discs, right, available in West Michigan when he opened up his disc shop. At that point, it was on 28th Street. But later, he opened it up there at Celebration Cinema over at Nass Corner.
My God. Yeah, it's really staggering what he was into. I wonder if the album collection still exists.
I think he used part of that. I'm sure it doesn't exist to the mass that it did at one point, because I know he was using a lot of that, selling off some of the rare records he had for his retirement. So okay. I'm sure, like I say, nowhere near matches the number that he had at one point, but I'm sure there's still something, you know, there in the collection, and, you know, and who knows what's going to end up with that, you know, with deciding what they're going to do with that stuff.
Any chance when you visited Aris, you guys busted out the hippie lettuce back in the day?
Oh, I didn't personally with Aris, but I'm sure there was some of that going on.
As we do this live on Twitch, Chris in the audience writes, I still love hearing Scott on the radio and his tidbits of info on WFGR.
Yep. Yeah. It's you know, this has been a career for you. I'm 34 years now on the air here in Grand Rapids, and it's been a fun run. There's been some ups and downs along the way, but you know, overall, it's been a great run, and I'm grateful for, you know, every day I can still do it.
That is awesome. All right. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate the time and adding your personal insight to the very sad passing of a terrific, terrific radio personality and a wonderful human being, the one and only Aris Hampers. I appreciate you, Scott. People can check you out on WFGR. What time are we going to listen?
I'm there from 2 to 7 Monday through Friday, and then they're on the middays on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday.
Love it. That's a lot of Scott. We need more Scott.
No, we don't.
All right. Have a good one, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks. See ya. Scott Winters. Long time, like you said, 34 years on the radio in Grand Rapids. And rest in peace, Aris Hampers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.